go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. It's time for our tour of what's going on in Asia and what it might mean for the rest of us. Our guide, as always, is Gordon Chang, our duty expert on these matters. Gordon, of course, is a columnist with Forbes.com and WorldAffairsJournal.com, also a regular at Fox News, among other places. He is kind enough to grace us each week and to talk with us about a variety of things involving China and the region more broadly. And Gordon, it's always a delight to talk with you. Welcome back.
Thank you so much, Frank.
Let's start with the appalling atmospheric conditions in Beijing at the moment, Gordon. And this certainly serves as an interesting backdrop for the climate change talks going on in Paris at the moment, in which China is playing an active role. Talk about both, if you would.
Beijing right now is under a blanket of smog, as are surrounding cities and provinces. They have declared a red alert for the first time in their history. Citizens there call it an airpocalypse. The air quality is 40 times worse than what the World Health Organization considers as safe. This is serious. And of course, it's occurring at the same time that China is taking a leading role in the climate talks in Paris, which are going to conclude this week, at least scheduled to conclude on Friday.
What is the source of this acute pollution, Gordon? Is it the manufacturing industries in China, in Beijing in particular, and its surrounding areas? Is it coal-fired power plants? Is it pollution of other kinds? And I understand that what happens in Beijing is not necessarily going to stay in Beijing. Are we likely to see the repercussions of this over in the west coast of the United States, perhaps?
The sources are heavy industry and cars primarily. The real problem, though, is China's authoritarian system. It doesn't allow people to protest and to create the pressure that is necessary to clean the air. Jack Ma, the founder behind Alibaba, about 6 months ago said, you know, Los Angeles cleaned its air, why can't we? Well, the answer to Jack Ma is the nature of the political system in China. And because of that political system, China can't really clean its air, at least without a revolution. And also, as you point out, Frank, this is not just China's problem. And this haze extends across the Pacific. It pollutes our air in California and the West. This is a worldwide problem, and the Chinese are not acknowledging that.
Gordon, what we have historically seen with the Chinese is when they feel that there is some interest of the state in play, they are able to mobilize the various powers of the state rather aggressively to effect whatever change they think is in order. While I understand what you're saying about the system, to some extent, square the circle there for us. If the Chinese government concludes that the people of China are being poisoned and are fit rot about this state of affairs, might they not, with their more or less authoritarian system, be able to make rather dramatic changes rather quickly, should they choose to?
You would think so, Frank. But basically, the Chinese people have been complaining about this for 5 years. The government has also said that it was going to do something about the air for about a similar period. The real problem is that basically, the Communist Party is a collection of factions and interest groups, and many of those interest groups have a real interest in continuing the sources of bad air. So, for instance, heavy industry, state enterprises, are extraordinarily powerful in the Chinese political system. They don't want restrictions that prevent them from dumping carbon dioxide and other pollutants in the air. And so you have a lot of vested interest groups in the Chinese political system that are able to defeat bottom-up pressure and are able to actually to defeat what the top leaders say that they want. So it is a very different sort of system where you have power diffuse among many people, not all of whom have an interest in clean air.
You've mentioned Chinese cars. You've also been writing recently, Gordon Chang, about the prospect that those cars may be providing transportation for large numbers of Americans in the not-too-distant future. Talk about the implications of a possible dumping, I guess you might call it, of Chinese automobiles in the U.S. car market.
On Friday, General Motors confirmed that it was going to import Chinese-made Buicks into the United States next year, about 30 to 40,000 Envisions, which are a mid-size crossover. This is after the U.S. bailed out General Motors, and essentially this is a car that can profitably be made in U.S. plants, and that really is going to be the issue. There is a discriminatory structure in place. China charges a 25% tariff on U.S.-made vehicles. We charge a 2.5% tariff. And also, China has forced car companies to manufacture in China with rules which say that they cannot manufacture on their own. They need a joint venture partner. And that has caused a technology transfer, as well as basically encouraging most of the world's major car makers to make vehicles inside China.
Might this result in real strife with the labor unions in the American automobile manufacturing plants, Gordon, that this kind of arrangement is being used to essentially take jobs away from them? And 30 or 40,000 cars doesn't sound like a lot, but I'm quite certain it's just the leading edge of a vast new effort that will be made by the Chinese and, I guess, their American partners as well.
This certainly is the leading edge. The UAW, the United Auto Workers, knew about this plan. They protested against it, but for various reasons, they decided that they were not going to block it. But if the UAW doesn't block it, clearly the United States should do so, because this is an issue of reciprocity, and we have so many different air sectors where the rules are in favor of China. The United States has agreed to this over various trade deals throughout the decades. We need to have a complete rethink of this, because this is not protectionism. This is just reciprocity. This is fairness.
Gordon, let me ask you just one quick question. You have also written recently about something. I know you've really been concerned about it for some time, as I think all of us should be. China's apparent involvement in the theft of data from the Office of Personnel Management. There was some evidence that the Obama administration has now agreed that they were not responsible, that it was some sort of gang that had gotten in and stolen this data. You're calling for retaliation against the Chinese. Sort this for us, if you would.
You know, in China right now, there's the Great Firewall, which means that the Chinese authorities know about all the data that is imported and exported across that firewall. So even if there were a private gang that hacked, either General Motors or the Pentagon or the Office of Personnel Management, Chinese authorities would be complicit in it. This is something that we should not accept. We should be making these arguments publicly as well as privately. And Admiral Mike Rogers, who's the director of the National Security Agency, has actually called upon retaliation. In what he said was, the Chinese cannot think that they can continue their cyber espionage without retaliation. Now, he didn't absolutely make a threat, but that was not an observation as a practical matter. And indeed, the United States needs to impose real costs on the Chinese, costs that are greater than the benefits they receive. And those benefits can be somewhere in the neighborhood of about $300 billion a year in stolen American intellectual property. So these costs need to be high. We need to start imposing them now. And unfortunately, neither party in Washington is talking about the measures that we absolutely need to take at this moment.
To the contrary, it seems the White House is excusing it and making that reaction even less likely. Gordon, as always, your time with us is very much appreciated, as are your insights into what's going on in Asia and what it does mean for the United States. Keep up your good work at Forbes and Fox News and elsewhere. Come back to us again very soon. I hope the rest of you will come back to us again tomorrow. Same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.